In the name of Jesus, amen. In this morning's gospel, we find ourselves on the other side of the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus appeared with three of his disciples in all of his radiant glory and power, and discussed with Moses and Elijah his upcoming exodus, or his departure. It was time. Jesus, from now on, sets his face toward Jerusalem and heads towards that holy city. And he even tells his disciples what will happen when he arrives there. He must suffer many things. He will be rejected by the religious leaders and be killed. And on the third day, be raised. It is time. So Jesus begins making preparations for his departure and for the future of his church, which includes you and me. But who is there to follow Jesus? Who will follow him wherever he will send them? Who is willing to leave everything and be his mouthpiece to the world? Who's willing to go out as a lamb among wolves, or to put his hand to the plow and not look back? You wouldn't expect many, would you? Perhaps a few fanatics, maybe. But our Lord, the Lord of the harvest, raises up workers to go out into the fields and sow his gospel. First, he gathers and sends out the 12 disciples. And now he appoints and sends out 72 others to proclaim the good news of his kingdom, which has arrived and is at hand. This is not a mass marketing door-to-door scheme. This is a mission of life and death. Words of life to those who will receive it, and condemnation to those who refuse to hear and believe. These 72 do not go out on their own mission with a pocket full of sales pitches and gimmicks. No, they are sent with Jesus' word in his name. To be sent with authority is to be sent with certainty. Jesus is sent from the Father to the world, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And then he, in turn, sends out others to go in his place and by his command, with his authority. So to hear one whom Jesus sends with his authority is to hear Jesus himself, and to reject one whom Jesus sends is to reject Jesus. And to reject Jesus is to reject the one who sent him. This is serious business. And it's all about the sending. The Father sends Jesus. Jesus doesn't go on his own initiative, but the Father sends him. And likewise, Jesus sends all of his apostles, his sent ones. And this sending of the 72 is a foreshadowing and a precursor of his church, who will be the steward of his word. He who hears you hears me. And Jesus is sending the 72 out as called and ordained servants of Christ and by his authority. So where you have Jesus' word, you have his authority, and his word is sure, and his word is power. Take note of the urgency. The fields are ripe for the harvest. There's no time to waste. I had a friend who was raised on a farm in Oregon, and he moved down to Southern California to go to school, and he later got a job as a teacher. And even while he was in school and working as a teacher, when harvest time came at home, he would drop everything. Take some vacation time, go up to Oregon to the harvest with his family to reap what was ripe. The harvest just won't wait. You have to reap when it's time. And that's the focused intensity of Jesus headed towards Jerusalem. No time to worry, no time to worry about packing or what you're going to bring or other cares that would detract from the mission. Just go. No money bag, no knapsack, no extra pair of shoes. Don't worry and be loaded down with the cares of this world. Your Father in heaven will provide for you. Just go. And note the danger. They're going as lambs among wolves. They represent the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who is going to his own sacrificial death on the cross. And the wolves will be watching and waiting. That's one reason why Jesus sends them out two by two. The wolves always look for the lone lamb. And that's the danger of individualized Christianity, believing on your own without a communion of saints. You're a lone lamb among the wolves. If you watch any nature shows on TV or any clips of YouTube video, you see the dreadful outcome of the one who has been separated from his group. It's not pretty. So don't be a solitary Christian. Even in sending, Jesus keeps them in a fellowship, a communion with one another. So what is the heart of their mission? The 72 come to proclaim peace. They are ambassadors of the Prince of Peace. Peace to this house, they say. Peace be with you. This is much more than a fond wish or a happy greeting. This is the peace that comes from the cross of the crucified one. A peace the world cannot give. A peace that surpasses all human understanding. And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which is just not the end of war or the absence of hardship, but it's a restoration of wholeness, of body, mind, and soul. It's a foretaste of heavenly paradise, a reversal of the curse for all. Jesus tells them, go and proclaim peace and heal the sick, for they are his ambassadors. They have his authority over disease and the demons, and they bear good news. The kingdom of God has come near. And here's an important point. You and I don't build the kingdom of God. We proclaim it, and there's a big difference. Sometimes you can get the impression that the kingdom of God is some building project that you and I are doing. The kingdom of God is not built on our efforts, but on God's. They're not on our works that the kingdom is built, but on the works of Christ. Not with our blood, sweat, and tears, but with Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears. He does the work, and we announce it is finished. If someone knocks on your door and tells you that you've won $1 million, do you let him in? Give him a cup of coffee? Do his words mean anything to you? Will they affect you in any way? And if you're convinced that he has the authority to speak these words, and those words are true, then you would be a fool to slam the door in his face, wouldn't you? I forgive you all your sins. This is my body. This is my blood. These are the words of Jesus for you. Can you trust them? He who hears you hears me. These are the words of Jesus our Lord. These are a valid and certain words. Words that are so certain as if Christ himself were dealing with you personally. The words of absolution are a living voice of the gospel and a voice coming down from heaven for you. And even when the owner of the voice is less than honorable, just look who's standing in the pulpit. And like Judas, who also was sent out by Jesus, they're not our words, but they're the words of Christ himself. And the peace that we proclaim is the peace that Jesus gives. He who hears you hears me. And yet the peace of Jesus can be rejected, can it? You can slam the door on the messenger if you wish, but be warned. Even the dust on the soles of their feet will testify against you. To raise the heel or to shake off the dust of your feet is if to say, since you've rejected me, the one who sent me has rejected you. Jesus underscores this point with his woes. Woe to Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Israelite cities. I mean, Capernaum, after all, was his base of ministry. These cities have seen a lot and heard a lot of Jesus. And yet Tyre and Sidon and even Sodom will be better off in God's judgment. Those words ought to scare the daylights out of us. The cities that had the most Jesus received the greatest condemnation for their rejection. To whom much is given, much is also expected. And to refuse the gifts is to reject the giver. To refuse salvation is to reject the Savior. Even the city of Sodom, the poster city of sin and evil in the Old Testament, compares favorably with a city that rejects Jesus. What makes the unforgivable sin unforgivable is its refusal to be forgiven. The kingdom of God has drawn near, but you want nothing to do with it. The forgiveness of sins is there for you, but you see nothing in yourself that needs forgiving. The sin you know that is in you doesn't need confessing. For after all, it's just a personality defect. It's part of who I am. I can't help it. We don't like the word sin, and we don't like calling the thing what it truly is. For after all, to sin is to transgress God's holy law and his holy will. To reject repentance is to reject his word and his spirit. To reject the church's ministry and proclaim and the proclamation of Christ's word is to reject Jesus himself, the Lord of the church. And that is to reject the Father as well. Jesus' words of warning to our refusal says, you shall be brought down to Hades. This is the warning he gives to the cities who reject him. This is the warning he gives to you and to me if we turn our back on the word of our Lord. He who hears you hears me. You will meet people who say things like, I can talk to God anywhere. I don't need a church or a pastor. I could talk to God on the beach or in the mountains, anywhere at all. And that's true. You can talk to God anywhere in your prayers. But that's you talking to God. The issue in this morning's text is, how does God talk to you? In your feelings? In your dreams? Your intuition? No. Jesus says, the ones I send to you, just as Nathan was sent to David, as the prophets were sent to Israel, as Peter was sent to Cornelius, as Philip to the Ethiopian in his chariot, he who hears the ones I send hears me, the very one who sends them. The 72 returned to Jesus full of joy. They were by any standard of success. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. How awesome is this? Stomping on snakes and scorpions, kicking out demons. Such impressive power. The devil's reign is ended. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But the power was not in them, was it? It was in Jesus and his name. Where the name of Jesus is, there the devil and all of his demons tremble at the sound. His death on the cross defeats death. His sacrifice fulfills the law. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sin, death, the devil are all defeated in Christ. The law that condemns is quieted and fulfilled. Nothing, my friends, shall hurt you. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You are a laborer. You have his gospel word. It is for you, and it's for your neighbor. What a privilege and joy to be counted as an ambassador of Christ. No one, not even the devil himself, can undo what the power of God's will do. It is the power of salvation for all who believe. But the cause for rejoicing is not that the demons submit, but that your names are written in heaven. As surely as baptismal water has flowed over you, as surely as forgiving words went into your ears, as surely as the body and blood of Christ go into your mouth, so surely are your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't take my word for it. It's Jesus' word for you. Go in God's peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.